Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and live from Bryant McKinney's nutritionist's office, it's the Fourth and Inches show with Jana and the Sherpa. I'm not Jana, I'm the Sherpa. Jana, welcome to the program tonight.
Hello, how are you tonight, Sherpa?
I'm just munching on some chicken here in honor of Bryant McKinney, but anyway, I should put that down, I guess, for the next hour so that we can get on with the show. So why don't you tell people what we're going to be up to tonight then?
Tonight we are going to take a look at all of the week's transactions since we were with you last Wednesday, and then we're going to revisit the AFC, take a look team by team now that some of the free agent waters have settled, and see if we still like what teams are doing and the directions they're headed in. And if there's some time, we might play a little game of Who Am I again. We'll see how things go.
All right, that sounds good. How can people get in touch with us during the show?
There are a number of ways, so whatever your heart's content is, you can call us at 1-347-677-1608. That's 347-677-1608. You can call in and ask us strategy questions or just talk to us about the AFC, whatever you'd like. Or you can email us at the number 4thninchesshow@gmail.com. That's the number 4thninchesshow@gmail.com. We're on Twitter under the same handle, the number 4thninchesshow. Or you can find us on Facebook at the Fantasy Football Sherpa fan page, or all week long at fantasyfootballsherpa.com. Lots of ways.
Okay. All right. We did away with the carrier pigeon because that proved to be too popular an option, and we weren't able to focus on the show. So we've done away with the pigeons for this week. But why don't we get on with the fun stuff, the transactions.
All right, take a deep breath. We've got a lot. As many teams continue to acquire free agents, make trades, and try to get everyone to pass their physicals and show up to camp. One of the more notable trades this week was the Dolphins acquiring running back Reggie Bush and restructuring him to a new two-year contract from, of course, the Saints. The Patriots also made some trades, most notably for Chad Ochocinco from the Bengals and the Redskins' former, I guess you could call him standout, you could call him a physical failure, you could call him a lot of things, but Albert Haynesworth's hoping to revamp his image with the Patriots, and they just gave up a few late-round draft picks for both guys. Brandon Stokley, we talked about last week, had been traded to the Redskins, had signed a deal with the Redskins, but he is backing out after the Redskins signed multiple other wide receivers the same day they offered him a job, and he's looking for work elsewhere.
That's not very nice of him.
No, but you can understand why. I mean, they went on a frenzy.
They did. They seemed to sign everybody except Braylon Edwards.
Mm-hmm. And there's still time for that. Still possible. The
Bengals
signed quarterback Bruce Gronkowski to, I guess, try to help take the place of quote-unquote retired Carson Palmer. The trade finally became official for Kevin Cobb to Arizona for a second-round draft pick and cornerback Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, and I'm sure Scott already pre-ordered his jersey since it was illegally available last week before the trade actually went through. Chicago also traded their tight end Greg Olsen to the Carolina Panthers, which I thought was interesting. There are a lot of tight ends and running backs on the move this week. That's just the tip
of
the iceberg.
Did Jeremy Shockey go out and buy a Greg Olsen jersey or not?
Not yet, but I'm sure it's only a matter of time.
Still time, yes.
We also had Darren Sproles signing a 4-year deal with the New Orleans Saints, basically getting Reggie Bush's money. The Giants released former retired running back Tiki Barber. They had to officially release him for him to go find work elsewhere. He will be working out for the Miami Dolphins tomorrow, and he's hoping to find a landing spot. We'll see how that goes. Michael Crabtree could miss 4 to 6 weeks after injuring his foot in one of the player-run practices during the lockout. So hopefully they get him back by the time the season starts, but we'll see. Former Cowboys wide receiver Roy Williams is landing in Chicago, where he'll try to find his form again there.
Are you excited about that?
I'm excited he's not a Cowboy anymore. He's no longer our problem.
You've got Marion Barber. Oh, excuse me. I'm stepping on your
We're getting there. We're getting
here.
There.
Okay.
The Broncos signed free agent running back Willis McGahee. It looks like Sean Moreno is going to have a little trouble finding some playing time there now. Miami Dolphins brought in quarterback Matt Moore and pretty much closed the book on Kyle Orton. The Broncos are now saying they are not going to trade him. He is QB1 out in Denver. So Tim Tebow, the experience is now put on hold. The Eagles have been making some serious waves on both the offensive and defensive sides of the ball.
Did they sign anybody this week?
Not one person. They actually brought in Hamdi Ashimwa. They were the mystery team who swooped in at the end and won the sweepstakes. He is the only defensive signing we're going to talk about today just because there are so many transactions. We're going to focus on the offensive side. But they did also sign Vince Young to a one-year deal, which will make for a more cohesive offense. Instead of having two schemes for two different kinds of quarterbacks, they sort of brought in someone who's similar to Michael Vick. Vince Young's hoping to sort of get his career back on track as well. The Bills signed former Jets wide receiver free agent Brad Smith, and so the exodus from New York continues. Although we will get to it, they did bring in a few names here this week as well. The Chiefs, Scott's favorite team, signed wide receiver Steve Breston this week. And the 49ers brought in kicker David Akers, formerly of the Eagles. Peyton Manning signed a new 5-year deal, which was really no surprise to anybody. One thing that was a surprise was he did, but they were able to bring back guys like Joseph Addai is back again in their backfield. One thing that was a surprise to a lot of people, myself included, Albert Haynesworth passed his conditioning test on the first try out in New England, so maybe he's turning over a new leaf.
Second try.
I think it was his first.
I thought
I'm
he
not
failed
sure,
one day. I'm not sure.
Well,
I thought he failed a day.
Regardless, he's on the field.
Regardless,
and,
he's there, and we
working
can laugh at him now.
And the Redskins traded for Arizona running back Tim Hightower, giving up defensive end Vonnie Holiday and a conditional late-round draft pick. Randy Moss and Mark Bulger both are officially retiring, although Randy Moss, if a contender comes calling a few weeks into the season, we could see him pulling a Brett Favre and returning. That is absolutely not out of the question.
I bet he doesn't.
I think he would. I don't think we've seen the last of Randy. Definitely not.
All right. We'll see.
But
maybe
Eagles
he and Brett will
signed...
go somewhere as a tandem.
Maybe. You really can't say no to that. You just don't know with those guys.
Especially if it's the Eagles.
The Eagles signed free agent running back Ronnie Brown, who will add some physicality to their run game they haven't had in almost a decade. The Bears brought in Marion Barber, also looking to add a little physicality there as well. It's become Dallas North up in Chicago, it seems like. The Chargers placed Antonio Gates on the physically unable to play list. With the lingering plantar fasciitis foot injuries from last year, they think he'll probably be ready for the start of the season, but are not 100% sure. For the time being, he's still got pain, and that's an issue. One of my favorite Packers, John Kuhn, the running back, was re-signed this week as well, keeping him around for a few more years. And in an interesting twist out west, former Raiders tight end Zach Miller did not re-sign with the team as most people expected him to. He actually left and took a 5-year deal out with the Seahawks. So they're getting serious about having a passing game, I guess. An interesting choice, maybe a little late, but we'll see how that plays. The Cardinals signed Todd Heap, who was recently released by the Baltimore Ravens. They signed him to a 2-year deal. And the Raiders brought in the former Bills quarterback, Trent Edwards. They're upping their IQ at the quarterback position out there. And another shocking move was Plaxico Burress signing a 1-year deal with the Jets. Most people thought he'd end up on the other side of New York or out in Pittsburgh, but the Jets gave him what he wanted, so he signed on the dotted line.
He just wanted to be close to his probation officer.
Maybe. Frank Gore ended his holdout on Monday. Chris Johnson and Deshaun Jackson continue theirs, and it does not appear to have an end in sight for either of them. Andre Johnson will be missing a day or two of camp with a dislocated left index finger, but we know he plays through a lot of injuries. That won't keep him down very long. Someone who will be missing a significant amount of time of training camp and potentially the regular season is Lions rookie Nick Fairley. He hurt his foot the first day of camp and was in a walking boot, and they sent him to a few specialists, and he had foot surgery this afternoon, and he's going to miss what they're calling a significant amount of time in camp, and they're not sure about what will happen come the regular season. So that's definitely an issue out there for Detroit. They were hoping to have the marquee lineman there. Not so much right now.
Nope.
Running back Cadillac Williams, one of the Sherpas' favorites, has agreed to terms with the Rams. And another kicker on the move is Jeff Reed, one of our favorite Who Am I players, is now out in Seattle. And Cedric Benson has signed a one-year deal to return to the Bengals. The Chiefs added running back LaRon McClain, another Kansas City weapon. I am laughing, and I'm going to continue laughing all through the show and all through the season on this crazy Chiefs bandwagon that you're leading.
Okay, who are your Super Bowl predictions then, the Packers and the Steelers?
We are not quite done here. We need to get through these transactions,
okay.
Then we can fight about this.
All right.
Ahmad Bradshaw's re-signing with the Giants for another year. As I mentioned, Tiki Barber will be working out with the Dolphins tomorrow. And the Eagles had a scare this morning when defensive tackle Mike Patterson had a major seizure for about 4 minutes on the field, but he was taken to the hospital where he, by lunchtime, was laughing and joking with all of the nurses and doctors there and was alert and stable and seems to be fine, but we're not sure how long he will be out. Obviously, brain issues are a real problem, especially in a contact sport like football. So
yes.
We've finally reached the end of our transaction train. It only took us 12 minutes today, so hopefully we can keep cutting that down each week.
I hope so. It depends where Braylon Edwards signs, though.
Yeah, he's a wild card. I'm sure we'll be talking about that next week.
Yeah, hopefully he'll have a home by then. Malcolm Floyd,
mm-hmm.
too.
There are a lot of teams are coming calling to them, and I'm sure they're going on several visits this week, so we've not heard the last of them.
No. So should we dive in on the AFC East then?
You know, I think we should. We'll just start right at the top.
Right at the top
with
the New York Jets.
Let's see what the Jets have been up to.
Maybe we should start. Do we want to go in the order of predicted finish? If that's the case, we should probably start with the Patriots.
Or we could get crazy and go alphabetically, whatever floats your boat.
Let's do that. I like that option. So
All right.
Gives us a chance to make an argument as to why the Buffalo Bills are going to win the Super Bowl this year. And that's because
Nobody
the underrated Ryan Fitzpatrick is back in the saddle as the quarterback. They got Tyler Thigpen and Brad Smith now, but I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is one of the more underrated quarterbacks in the NFL. I don't know why the Dolphins or somebody like that didn't trade for him if they weren't going to trade for Kyle Orton. He's there, Fred Jackson, C.J. Spiller. And wide receiver-wise, they didn't really do anything to upgrade there, I don't think. Steve Johnson and an injured Lee Evans still. You know, tight end-wise, they've got a zillion tight ends, none of whom are very healthy or very good. They're a mess. I can't really. Who do you think, let's put it this way, who do you think, if anyone, has the most fantasy value on that team this year? Who, if any, of these Buffalo Bills would you consider drafting onto your fantasy team, and would you consider them starters or reserves?
If I had to take someone, it'd probably be Steve Johnson. I don't think I would be starting him on most days. It's really going to depend what Ryan Fitzpatrick or whoever they decide to put under center is going to do and who they're playing on any given week, but I'm not really wowed by anything they're putting on the field right now. I'd love to see them get some of these pieces. You know, they have young guys. I want to see them succeed, but it's just they're not even in a rebuilding year. They're just not moving forward. They're barely treading water. It's making me a little nervous. I mean, Brad Smith's officially a quarterback for them on their depth chart now, and he's been a wide receiver, quote-unquote a wide receiver, for the last few years. So that kind of says a lot about the state of what's happening there.
I think they're just going to run the Wild Buffalo offense with him as quarterback.
They're going to be doing something. I'm not sure.
Or he'll just stay on the sideline and be a water buffalo.
You know, I might look at more of them for a water buffalo fantasy football team than an actual fantasy football
team.
The
Discovery
There's just
Channel.
Not a lot to get excited about there.
No. All right. CJ Spiller, yes, no, maybe so?
For me, it's a no. I don't really want anything to do with anybody on the Bills on any of my fantasy teams.
I think he'd be a nice speculative pick towards the end of the draft. I mean, rather than handcuff someone, which I'm not just a fan of in general, but I'd rather take a chance on someone like C.J. Spiller. But he's not even going to be around in handcuff time. Somebody's going to take him as either a flex option or a reserve running back, I think. But we'll see. So, anyway, not too much
not
to get
be
excited
my problem
about there,
to deal
right?
with.
All right. On that note, why don't we keep moving then? So,
Miami.
Yeah.
Miami, a team that I like and seemingly no one else does.
I would agree with that because unless I'm no one, I don't like them either.
I like Chad Henne, I always have. They're sticking with him and
how can they not trade for Kyle Orton or do something? I don't understand
because
that.
Kyle Orton is not an elite quarterback. You're not gonna give up high draft picks or pieces you actually like on your team to go get Kyle Orton, who's just going to throw, if maybe more interceptions than Chad Henne will. What's the point?
No, he's a much better quarterback than Chad Henne. Elite, no, but
no, absolutely
he's
not.
In,
I don't. I would not
he's
even.
He's probably the
third
tier of quarterbacks, and I think Chad Henne is probably in the eighth tier of quarterbacks.
I wholeheartedly agree.
I think they blew it big time there.
I don't. I'm happy Kyle Orton's not on that team. I'm not thrilled with the crazy train of running backs they're running through right now. Reggie Bush is a head case. They're bringing Tiki Barber, who's maybe the biggest prima donna head case running back of them all right now. Not excited about either of those or much of what's happening in their run game, but
Daniel Thomas,
I think,
excited about him at all as a rookie?
I think there are a lot of rookies to get excited about. They brought in, they had a what I thought was a fairly decent draft. They brought in a lot of really good undrafted free agent rookies. I'm excited about a lot of the young talent, and I think there are going to be some veterans that are really competing for jobs they didn't think they were going to be. So Jason Taylor's coming in. I think that's a nice return to form. I mean, obviously, he's not the Jason Taylor he was when he left. It's sort of his swan song, but he's a good player, good leader. I think there's a lot to get excited about, young guys there. It's definitely a transition year for sure. They're not going to be setting the world on fire, but they're absolutely moving in a very positive direction, I think.
Here's my prediction. I predict that Matt Moore will be their starting quarterback at some point this season and not because of injury.
I don't agree, but I think we may see some Matt Moore. I don't think he's going to be named a starter.
No, at some point, I think he'll be the starter, and not just because Chad Henne gets crushed. Just I don't think he's going to play that well, but we'll see. For the Dolphins, hopefully
Toronto
you're right.
Believes in Chad Henne. I believe in Chad Henne. To me, that's what matters.
Well, Brandon Marshall believe in Chad Henne is the other big question, speaking of
I think
game.
So. Brandon Marshall will believe in anybody that throws his way. He doesn't care who the arm's attached to as long as they look at him.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he had Carl Orton's arm throwing to him for a while, and I suppose if he'd really wanted to, he could have lobbied for that, although he's probably too busy dealing with his personal issues. But between Marshall and Bess and Hartline, they've got some pretty good young receivers there, guys that I think have it. Pardon?
I'm excited about the receiving core. There are a couple of really good young tight ends they brought in.
Do you want to give a plug for your friend?
No, that's okay. I don't want to play favorites, but I do know that I've been keeping an eye on the Dolphins camp because I do have a friend out there, and the rookies that are there have really stepped up their game. And Fasano, I think, needs to watch his back. Pat Devlin's had a decent showing so far as what'll probably be a third-string quarterback or a scout team quarterback. But for rookies, they're holding their own. I've been impressed with what I've seen.
All right, and since we're on the subject of Miami, where do you think Ricky Williams ends up?
I wouldn't be shocked if he comes back to Miami, quite frankly.
I don't really think
people are beating down his door, and it took Ronnie Brown a while to find a landing spot, and there really just aren't that many places that are going to give him the respect and the amount of carries that I think he thinks he deserves, and he may. It's hard to say. I think Miami will take him back because they know the ceiling that's there and they know how to handle him. And I don't necessarily think Tiki Barber is going to sign in Miami, that they're going to keep him. But you need more than just Reggie Bush in your backfield, that's for sure.
For both of those guys, I don't see why Seattle hasn't called them, for instance. Or maybe they haven't. They're just not offering them.
Seattle,
money,
about getting their wide receivers in check. I don't really know what they're doing offensively, and I'm not 100% sure they know what they're doing.
I think they should be making
some calls for sure.
Well, I think their wide receivers are okay. It's just, to me, their running game. I mean, I think Marshawn, we'll get to Seattle next week, but anyway. So that's it for the Dolphins, then. Next up are the Patriots?
Yes. The Patriots.
All right. So
they've made
Tom
some
Brady,
interesting
moves. Yes. Yeah, they have. I mean, just, you know, Tom Brady obviously is still one of the top 3-4 fantasy quarterbacks. If you drafted him number one, I don't think too many people would disagree with you there. You know, you might have the Aaron Rodgers and the Drew Brees and the Peyton Manning, and I know I'm forgetting somebody.
I mean, obviously I make the Aaron Rodgers argument, but Tom Brady did cut off that awkward small ponytail he was rocking during the lockout, which makes him slightly more aerodynamic. So that's a step in the right direction.
That's true. You would think he'd shave his head if he really wanted to go the whole way, but then I guess maybe he thinks people would confuse him with Chad Ochocinco then.
You don't want that. In Ochocinco, what do you think about that?
I think that's a great move. I think there's very little downside to that, and maybe I don't think he'll have the impact that Randy Moss did. I don't think that's Randy Moss part two, you know, catching, you know, 20 touchdowns.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think he could definitely be a good second or third option for them. I mean, right now, they've pretty much got a Smurf core at wide receiver there when you look at Wes Welker and
it does
Branch
some
and
height
Edelman.
For sure.
I think
I agree with you. I think that Chad Ochocinco or Johnson, whatever he's going by now, there's one thing that I think's been constant, and that's he truly loves football, and he's a hard worker. He loves to showboat and, you know, be the center of attention, but he goes out and he works, and I respect that. I think that could be a good move for them. He can work well in the system.
Put it this way, I'm more optimistic about his turning around his career than I am about Albert Haynesworth, but we'll see if Belichick can make that work.
The Haynesworth thing seems like, you know, we're throwing stuff at the wall to see what sticks, and I don't think Albert Haynesworth, if there's a place that he can turn it around, it's going to be New England. I don't think he cares enough to.
I think he cares. I think he wants to prove people wrong. But again, you know, he's gotten paid already. You know, he's got the huge signing bonus. Even if he got cut tomorrow, he's probably set for several lifetimes. So there's not a lot of incentive for him unless, again, whatever internal drive he has. But we'll see. So.
Mm-hmm.
Running back-wise, do you think they have anything of fantasy value? I just look and I see the same cast of characters that they had last year, and I'm not particularly excited about it. You know, Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Kevin Falk, and Sammy Morris, and Danny Woodhead. I don't see any real fantasy value there.
They're good for what they do on the field, but it doesn't translate to fantasy football. It's kind of like the Saints wide receivers. You don't know who's going to get more carries on a given day, and there's you really can't guess, and there's really no way to say, you know, I think the law firm, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, is going to have a good day. Let me grab him. There are better options out there. Maybe you take a flyer on one as, you know, a very last round pick. I wouldn't do too much more than that, though.
Yeah, the one guy I'm kind of curious, and maybe he's worthy of a late round pick, you know, as a backup speculative wide receiver, is Brandon Tate. I'd like to see what he does with the full year under his belt, and also, and again, you know, he's one of the few guys on the team, one of the few wide receivers over 5'9", so that should also work to his advantage, but that could be interesting. And then tight end, I think, is still, you know, either one of those guys could be really good, but I'm staying away from both of them fantasy-wise, Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez, just because you never, it's not clear whether one or the other is going to get the ball in a given week.
No,
so
and in the last two seasons, so many other tight ends have stepped up, and offenses have started using the tight end more as a receiver than just, you know, a blocker. And so there are so many options that you know are the guy on their team that maybe aren't going to get as many wins or as many looks, but it's not divided between two players. So maybe somebody like Chris Cooley is a better option than either of these guys.
Unless he's dividing with Fred Davis.
Yeah, he's probably not, though.
All right. So I think we've beaten a dead Patriot about as far... Oh, Algie Crumpler, is he going to sign anywhere? And if so, is he still a fantasy impact player, or should we just give up on him?
I think it's possible he signs somewhere. I wouldn't really do anything with him fantasy-wise, just because anywhere he does go, he's not going to be a number one. And there are better options.
Maybe Oakland. Unless they sign someone like
Kevin
Ross.
If he went to Oakland,
Boston.
I wouldn't put him on my fantasy team.
All right. So, all right, enough about the Patriots. Now let's spend the rest of the show on the New York Jets, who are going to lose in the AFC Championship game to the Chiefs. So, in all seriousness, if the Jets are going to make a run this year, I think Mark Sanchez is going to have to improve, not just take one step forward, but about five or six steps forward, because the guy's passing completion rate is just still unacceptable if you're looking at a possible championship team. And, you know, I like Sean Green. I don't think LaDainian Tomlinson is going to be such a big deal this year. Maybe Joe McKnight takes a step forward. Wide receiver-wise, Santonio Holmes I like. Plaxico Burress is an interesting case. Would you have him on your fantasy team if he were still around, say, when you were picking reserve wide receivers? What do you think?
I actually took him in a draft this week as a reserve, one of my last wide receivers, but more as a flyer. I don't necessarily think I will use him for a few weeks until I see what's actually going to happen, but Santonio Holmes needs somebody to play off of, and Braylon Edwards isn't coming back. Brad Smith's gone. They got to throw to somebody, and Plaxico Burress is a tall guy. He knows what he's doing out there. My biggest concern is, number one, Mark Sanchez, you're right, needs to take a flying leap forward. he needs to get to a much better place quarterback-wise for me to even think of them as an elite team, which I don't right now. There's too many question marks for me to say Mark Sanchez is going to lead this team to an AFC Championship game. They're not winning it. They're not getting there. But I think that Santonio Holmes, obviously, and I think Burress is going to be a decent to solid fantasy option. I wouldn't make him your number one or number two receiver, but a flex player or somebody you're bringing off your bench, yeah, I'd take a flyer on him.
Well, it's funny because Burress and Randy Moss have a lot in common. They're both 34 years old, and both of them, you know, haven't been on the field very much the last year or two.
Yeah, but at least...
What I was really hoping for was now that the Jets have signed Burris, that they would have a change of heart and sign Braylon Edwards, and so then the two of them would probably be out at a nightclub somewhere and start fighting over the number 17 and both get arrested and be out for the season. That was my sort of dream scenario.
Well, Braylon Edwards had some issues in Detroit this week with his entourage, so, I mean, he's moving east. He could show up in New York anyway, whether or not he's playing there.
I think the next stop in the Braylon Edwards Across America tour is in San Francisco, apparently, when you alluded to Michael Crabtree's injury before. They're thinking of signing Braylon Edwards now. So
I think he's also going to visit Arizona as well, which I think would be a nice landing spot for him, too.
I think either one of those plays. If he goes to San Francisco, he's probably going to be a number one wide receiver. And if he goes to
Arizona, he's 1A.
Yeah, I mean, Larry Fitzgerald is obviously their main guy there, but you know, he'll probably be drawing a lot of double teams, and hopefully that. And Todd Heap is a decent tight end too.
Yeah.
And you know, I think Edwards would do well in either of those places. But since they're both in the NFC, we're not going to talk about them, right?
Not at all. I don't know what you're talking about.
Right. We're not talking about the NFC this week, except, well, I blew that. But so anyway.
Moving on.
Right. Moving on. So predicted order of finish in the NFC, in the AFC East. Have we changed at all? I don't think I have.
I think Patriots, Jets. I think the Dolphins and then the Bills. I think you think the Bills might finish higher than the Dolphins.
Maybe. I think both of them will be having a top 10 draft choice next year, but we'll see.
I think Miami's better than that. But let's move on to the North.
You're right. If they put Matt Moore in at quarterback, then they definitely would be, but we'll see. So shall we move on to the AFC North then?
Yes, let's.
All right. The Ravens. They're supposedly on the verge of signing Malcolm Floyd, which I think would be a really good move for them. I mean, they've got a couple of rookies, Torrey Smith and Tandon Doss, that they're counting on for their receiving game. But right now, after Anquan Boldin, the most experienced receiver they have is James Hardy, who didn't exactly set the world on fire with the Redskins. So I think Floyd would be a great signing for them if they're able to pull that off. And
I think they have to sign Malcolm Floyd for them to stay relevant. Before they made all these cuts and you know, I kind of agreed with Ray Lewis when he was going around saying, you know, we're right there, we're, you know, 3 minutes away, we're 1 minute away, whatever, minutes away from being a Super Bowl team. And I thought they had a lot of good pieces, but unfortunately they went and cut a lot of those pieces. And Anquan Boldin and Joe Flacco didn't really seem to be on the same page a whole lot last year. So I'm not sure what I'm feeling about the Ravens, but I'm feeling a little uneasy about what they're doing.
I think they're going to be fine, but it would definitely help them if they did sign Malcolm Floyd, or they probably don't have the money for Braylon Edwards, but I think they definitely need another receiving threat that right now they don't have. I mean, maybe they use Ed Dixon and Dennis Pitta more in the passing game this year, especially with Todd Heap not there, but there's a lot of question marks there, but Flacco, to me, still, I don't even know if he's a starter in a 12-team league. I think
in a two-quarterback league, he's an absolute starter.
He could be
11 or 12 in a 12-team league, but he's kind of right on the verge there.
So, Ray Rice, where do you rank him? You know, how do you like his prospects this year? Is he a top three running back, top five, top six? What do you think?
I don't think he's a top three. I think he's a top five or six for sure.
Not even a point per reception league, a PPR league?
I don't think I'd put him in my top. He might be four. He might just barely be three. It kind of fluctuates my list. He's definitely in my top five, PPR or not. I like him a lot. And especially now that I like their tight end situation and their wide receiver less, I like their run game a lot more by comparison.
And with Vonta Leach there now, is their fullback, you know, everybody was after him, or not everybody, but any team that needed a fullback was after him, and that should make Ray Rice's job a little bit easier if he can stay healthy. Mm-hmm. So that might be a good signing too. But Flacco, about Ray Rice, probably a top five running back still. Bolden, I like, probably as a in a 12-team league, I think he's still a top wide receiver or wide receiver one. Mm-hmm. But I would like him better if they went out and signed Malcolm Floyd then, just in the same way that I would like
if it's an Gerald NFC name, Moore. Don't you say it.
Okay, all right, we're done with that.
We're staying with the AFC.
Okay, we're staying with the AFC, and we're moving right along then. So next the Cincinnati Bungles. And
this will be a short analysis because it's a disaster.
Right. Chris Gradkowski is not going to do anything at quarterback that would make you want him on your fantasy team. Andy Dalton, same thing.
The only person I really like is Jordan Shipley, and there's not going to be anybody throwing the ball.
There wide receiver. It depends. If Gradkowski is serviceable or Dalton steps up faster than people think, then...
I still took Jordan Shipley as a late-round flyer, very much like Plexico Burris, but I'm not making him wide receiver one or two.
Oh, no, not at all. But the way Jerome Simpson came on at the end of last year, maybe he's a wide receiver three if you're playing in a three or four wide receiver league. And A.J. Mm-hmm. Green, who knows, I'm always loath to take rookies early when they have an unsettled quarterback position. I mean, other than Julio Jones, who we're not supposed to talk about this week in Atlanta.
We are into the second half of the show, and we are not talking about the NFC.
All right, and we're not going to talk about Carson Palmer, but I think Cedric Benson, we didn't mention him, and perhaps Bernard Scott, if Benson gets hurt, could have some fantasy value, but there's, in general, not a lot of fantasy value
nothing,
to be had there.
There's no
Jermaine
reason
Gresham,
to waste
the tight
time
end
on
is a good.
Bernard Scott. Jermaine Gresham's
Gresham
great.
Is
but there's not enough. There's, I don't know if there's going to be enough going around. There are other tight ends I'd take before him.
He'll be the safety valve option. Mark my words, he'll have 70 catches this year.
Oh, gosh.
All right, moving on.
We're done with the Bengals.
Moving on. The Cleveland Brownouts. So we've got Colt McCoy. You think he's going to take a step up as a quarterback this year? Is he a quarterback you would take in a two-quarterback league?
Maybe. There are probably other guys I'd take first because I tend to draft quarterbacks higher, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
If I were taking three quarterbacks, he would definitely be somebody I'd consider. And I think even in a deeper 12-team or deeper league that I would consider him as a second quarterback. And I usually take second quarterbacks pretty early. But how about Montario Hardesty? I mean, everybody knows Peyton Hillis. And I'm not expecting him to duplicate last season. But Montario Hardesty worthy of a late-round flyer in your mind or leave him for waivers?
Maybe. A lot of that's going to depend on how deep your league is. I think he's an interesting option. I think maybe. I'm on the fence about it just because I'm not really sure what the Browns are going to do.
Now, how about someone like Greg Little, their wide receiver that they brought in this year? Is he someone that you would take a flyer on?
I'm leaving him for the waivers. I would like to see what he does first.
Mohamed Massaqua or Robiskie, you take a late-round flyer on either of those guys?
For me, no. I'd like to take a late-round flyer on a guy who's on a team that's a little more stable.
All right. So anything else to say about them? No. All right, let's move on. The Pittsburgh Steelers, the AFC, soon to be former AFC champions, they're perennially a good team, no matter pretty much who's playing defense for them or who's catching the ball for them. But I think the most fantasy value there, Hines Ward, I'm not expecting much out of him, but Mike Wallace should be back and better, and Emmanuel Sanders, I think, by the end of the season will probably have usurped Hines Ward's role as the other starting wide receiver. Agree or disagree?
Disagree, very much so. I think Hines Ward is still very much has value. I think that there's a lot more value on this team than you think there is. I think they're going to be very good.
No, I think they'll be very good. But, I mean, obviously Roethlisberger is a quarterback one. You can argue if he's top five, mm-hmm. top ten, whatever. Rashard Mendenhall, I think he's definitely a top ten running back.
He's on my list.
Yeah,
I
think that's pushing it a little bit, because I think Roethlisberger is one of those guys that could throw for 4,000 yards or maybe even more, which would take away some from their running game, but we'll see. And
it's the Steelers. Their running game will be okay. They'll be all right.
Wallace is the wide receiver that I like most there. Sounds like you would rather have Hines Ward, but I think I'd rather have Wallace.
I like Ward and Wallace very much. I could go. I might like Wallace a little bit more, but I like Hines Ward a lot more than you do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't dislike him. I just think Wallace has a much higher ceiling, and therefore I would take him earlier. I've actually seen him come off the board as the third or fourth wide receiver in some drafts, which I think is a little bit too high, but I can understand the optimism there. Tight end, Heath Miller, still injured, still, I don't think, I'm not so keen on him. How about you?
I think there are better options out there. He was very underwhelming last year.
All right. So this division, I'll go Steelers over the Ravens.
Yeah.
Steelers over the Ravens is my guess, and then I'll go Browns are respectable, maybe a little bit under 500, and that's
the
Bengals.
I think the Browns will hang in. I agree. No, Steelers, Ravens, Browns, Bengals. I think the Browns will hang in.
They pretty much got four guaranteed losses already with the Steelers and the Ravens before they even start playing.
If the NFC North has taught us anything lately, it's that there are no guaranteed wins or losses. The Bengals can come in and sweep. Anybody can do it.
That's not happening this year.
I'm not saying it's happening this year. I'm just saying it's not. You can't pencil those in as L's right away.
Well, I think the Raiders swept the AFC West last year, but we're not in the West yet.
Let's talk South.
No, we're not. All right. So we're
let's
done. Pittsburgh. Okay. So let's talk about the South then. Yes. Moving right along then, Houston Texans. Matt Schaub, I think he's a top five quarterback. You don't. Would you put him in your top 10 or no?
Yeah, I'd definitely put him in my top 10. My top five is a little crowded.
Okay, Arian, well, I think I'm down to about 10 running backs in my top five now, and hopefully I can whittle that down a little bit.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
You're only twice the number. That's good.
Yeah, that's a good starting point. Now, Arian Foster, is he a consensus number one pick for you in any scoring format, yes or no?
No. No, he's not.
No, who would you?
In the drafts that I have been in, he hasn't always gone number one.
Who would you rather have than Arian Foster then as a running back? And it's okay to mention Adrian Peterson's name if you want to.
No, I don't think I'm going to mention Adrian Peterson's name.
Well, who would you rather have than Arian Foster and why?
I would... Arian Foster's a good pick. I just, on any given day, I kind of change my mind about who I would take number one overall with running back. I think anybody
consider
in the top five could realistically. I saw Jamaal Charles go one in a draft. I've seen him go one and two, which absolutely makes you ecstatic. But Arian Foster is up there.
I just think he's interesting.
I think those top four guys are interchangeable, really.
Yeah, I don't like Adrian Peterson and Chris Johnson as much in a PPR league. I'd almost rather take a shot on somebody like LeSean McCoy than Arian Foster. I think is definitely the number one in a PPR. If it's not Jamaal Charles, I still think I'd rather have Foster, even though I like Charles a lot. But so we'd probably beat that enough. Andre Johnson, is he a number one for you? Number one wide receiver? Yes or no?
Yes.
Assuming that he's healthy.
He's a tough dude. He'll play through anything. I like it.
So, Calvin Johnson, no. Larry Fitzgerald, no. You're not interested in anybody.
I like Andre Johnson's situation. He and Matt Schaub connect very well. He's not a delicate flower. He'll go up. He'll get physical with the guy to get the ball. I like that.
He only seems to be playing on one leg for part of the season, though. Is he an injury risk?
I'm okay with that, because his one leg is still a Pro Bowl caliber one leg.
All right. So if he's hopping around like, you know, something out of Treasure Island,
he can have a peg leg. I'm all right with it.
All right, I'm not. If he gets to that point, I'm cutting him. Haha. So Owen Daniels, is he a tight end that you would consider, or is there just too much depth and too many injury questions about him?
Too much depth. Let's let him show me something, and I'll pick him up off a waiver wire.
All right. I think he's one of those guys that, you know, kind of like Tony Gonzalez, who we're not talking about, that he'll still be around after most of the bigger name tight ends have gone, but he could, you know, if he's healthy and
maybe he's a nice bye week fill in or a guy off your bench if you like to draft backup like I do. He's an interesting option. But I think that there are 12 guys ahead of him for sure.
Yeah. I think I like him a little bit more than you do, but let's keep going then. So, Indianapolis, Peyton Manning concerned. He was the one I was trying to remember before. Peyton Manning concerned or no, he was not a running back. I don't know why I forgot. Peyton Manning concerned or no?
I am concerned. I'm very concerned. I think he'll still go out and be Peyton Manning. His numbers will still be good, but I'm not drafting him.
Really? No way, no how. If he's still there in the third round and Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees are gone.
But I think I'd rather have a healthy Matt Ryan than Peyton Manning with some questions.
That's a good one. I think I'd still
Bold
take
statement.
Manning there, even though I like Matt Bold Ryan a lot.
Over here.
But they better hope that he stays healthy, because if he gets hurt, Curtis Painter and Dan Orlovsky are not cutting it. So.
But they have all those great Curtis Painters brushing up on the offense headlines to go with his Painter last name.
Yeah, I think those are some pretty spotty headlines there myself, but maybe they'll just put Jasper Johns on their helmets instead of a Colts.
We're done.
Well, no, we're not done. We still have to talk about
No, we're
about
done talking
Desai.
About Curtis Painter.
Okay, we're done talking about Curtis Painter, yes. He's gotten more than his 15 minutes here. So how about Joseph Addai, Donald Brown? Either of those guys have any value, and if so, which one do you prefer?
Late round flyers, I think I prefer Brown a little bit more than Joseph Addai, but not by a ton.
I think I'd rather have Addai, but again, I don't feel strongly about it.
Sorry, you take Joseph Addai, I'll take Donald Brown. We'll call it a day.
All right, sounds good. Wide receiver-wise, Reggie Wayne, is he still a top five wide receiver in your mind? Does that depend on Peyton Manning's health, and therefore you're not going to risk it, or how do you feel about him?
I think a lot of that depends on Peyton Manning's health. If Peyton Manning's 100% healthy, yeah, he's a top five wide receiver. There are a lot of guys who are just outside that top five that would fill in admirably. So, I'd see who else was still on the board then.
Admirably, and maybe even if they got promoted to sergeant or loot or whatever, but we'll see.
You never know.
Yeah. So, and if you have a team quarterback instead of individual quarterbacks, you could actually wind up with Peyton Painter as your quarterback tandem there. But either way, I think Reggie Wayne is outside the top five now, top ten still. The other guy that worries me for them, and I know you like him a lot, is tight end Dallas Clark. I just,
very much
like A, him. I'm not sure he's healthy, and B, with what Jacob Tammy showed last year, I think that they might be sharing the ball a little bit more there.
I don't think it's going to be enough that I'm concerned about it. I would still draft Dallas Clark. I like him a lot. And if he says he's healthy, I believe him, and he's saying he's healthy. So I'm on board.
So wide receiver-wise, is there anything there worth picking up behind Reggie Wayne, Pierre Garçon, Austin Collie, Anthony Gonzalez, Blair White?
I like Garçon and Collie, and I like them as maybe a flex player or a third wide receiver if you've got a deep league, somebody off the bench. I really do like them a lot.
To me, that's too much like the New England tight end situation. They might be good players, but you know, since I never know who's getting the ball from one week to the next, I think I'd avoid that. But that's just my personal preference then. They even have Joe Horn in camp. That I'm happy and excited about, but not that I expect him to make the team, but it would be cool to see him if he did. So, anyway. All right, moving on. Oh, we still have Jacksonville to talk about.
We do.
That division. Not that there's much to talk about there. MJD, top five or no? I say no.
I'd say he's either five or right on the outside looking in.
I don't think he's healthy. I don't want any part of him.
I don't think he's healthy. I'm not drafting him because that knee really, really makes me nervous. If he's coming to camp saying he's not 100%, it's been 8 months, and I don't know how much more damage is going to get done. I feel like he's going to be a shell of himself. How much cutting can you really do on a knee that's maybe 80% healthy at best? And the fact that I don't feel like it's a super stable offense to begin with, especially without him, it makes me very concerned.
Yeah. All right. I think we're in agreement there. Now, conversely, what about Rashad Jennings? Is he somebody you take a mid to late round flyer on, assuming that he'll be the starter if Maurice Jones-Drew is not healthy enough to play?
Yeah, I might do that. I could get behind that logically.
And wide receiver, I don't understand what they did. They let Mike Sims Walker go, and I don't see that they've really done anything there to make themselves better. I mean, maybe they're hoping that Juan Underwood will get better, but I just don't see it. I could very well see, you know, Mercedes Lewis being their leading receiver, both reception and yardage-wise this season, because I don't think MJD is healthy enough.
I don't like anything that's happening in the Jacksonville offense. I want to stay far away from it.
What if they were to sign someone like Braylon Edwards?
It wouldn't be enough. All anybody would do would be cover Braylon Edwards.
All right. And quarterback-wise, are we in agreement that we stay away from it, no matter if it's David Garrard or Blaine Gabbert or whoever it happens to be?
There's nothing you want to be a part of there.
All right. So, all right, that settles that. And now, of course, we still have Tennessee to talk about. Matt Hasselbeck, I think he's more valuable as a real life player than a fantasy option. Fantasy wise, yeah. I just can't see it. Assuming that they get Chris Johnson back in the fold eventually,
part of the problem is that it's been a few years since he's played a full season. There's a lot of back injuries and a lot of little lingering ones that never go away, and he's not a spring chicken.
He's bald.
He is.
Yeah. So we don't trust bald quarterbacks, which is why we also told you to stay away from Bruce Gradkowski before. So anyway, Hasselbeck, I let him be somebody else's problem or flyer. Mm-hmm. I just don't see that there's much of a ceiling there. Chris Johnson, if he comes back, you know, he'll probably get hurt, and Javon Ringer will end up being their leading rusher this year.
I see. I'm so much higher on Chris Johnson than you are.
Well,
Ringer all day. I'll take Chris Johnson just fine.
Tongue in cheek. But, I mean, if it's getting down late in the draft, all right, yeah, I probably would take Rashad Jennings before I would take Javon Ringer. But I definitely think Javon Ringer should be taken at some point in a draft.
Yeah, it's not going to be by me.
All right. So, we haven't talked about Kenny Britt yet. Do you draft him if you have your draft before you know what's going on with him, his legal situation? On the one hand, he's capable of being a wide receiver one if he's got his head on right and he's not behind bars, but you know, there's always the chance that either one of those things might happen. So where would you rank him as far as wide receivers go?
He's got a really high ceiling, and that's hard to say no to, but I'm not excited about the quarterback situation, and there's just not a lot behind Kenny Britt, and he's got the legal problems that just never seem to go away. So depending who else is on the board when I'm up and he's still sitting there, if he's heads and tails above the guy behind him, you know, ranking-wise, yeah, I'm going to take him, but I'd try not to if there was any way.
And other than that, I just don't see anything of value there wide receiver-wise. You know, Jared Cook, he's a big unknown at tight end. Does he break out and have the season that makes people talk about him in the same conversation as Jermichael Finley and Brandon Pettigrew? Maybe, but I'm not taking that chance.
I don't think it'll be quite that serious. Well, I think he'll have a better year, but I don't think he's going to be top five caliber tight end, no.
Yeah, probably not. And Randy Moss, you don't think we've seen the last of him. I do, so that'll be interesting to track what happens with him during the season. Mm-hmm. So we're 3/4 of the way done with the teams and about 95% of the way done with the show. So why don't we scurry through the AFC best. Denver Broncos, that's just a mess there. There's no question in my mind that Kyle Orton should be the starting quarterback there, and that Tim Tebow should.
They said he's going to be the starter. He is going to start the season as the starting quarterback. Pressure-wise, I don't know if he lasts. So I don't think he's an elite quarterback, but I don't think any of the three, Tim Tebow or Brady Quinn, are either. Tim Tebow is not ready to be a full-time starter.
I would rather have Kyle Orton than Colt McCoy if I'm looking at it.
I'd rather have Colt McCoy than Kyle Orton, for sure.
All right, so we disagree on that. No Sean Moreno, is he somebody you would consider? You know, the reports on him in camp were mixed, although probably better than what we heard in the offseason, where it seemed like they were trying to give his job away. They've signed Willis McGahee. Does that worry you at all?
I think that Willis McGahee is going to get as many or more touches as No Sean Moreno. So I don't think No Sean Moreno is a number one running back on anybody's team.
Well, not a number one running back fantasy-wise, but could you see him taking him, say, as a second or a third running back for your team?
Maybe third. I wouldn't take him second.
And you would take him still ahead of Willis McGahee, I take it, or no?
I think Willis McGahee is going to have more value than No Sean Moreno.
All right, we'll see about that. I respectfully disagree. Wide receiver wise, Brandon Lloyd, Eddie Royal, any other Eric Decker, maybe Demaryius Thomas, any value there?
I think there's some value for all of them. It's just hard to say which ones. And I think a lot of them are going to be left to the waiver wire. And after week one or week two, go grab them, because then you'll figure out who is actually going to get throws. Because right now it's kind of a crapshoot.
I'm willing to take a late-round flyer, I think, on Eddie Royal.
I think Eddie Royal and maybe Demaryius Thomas would be at the top of my list of the pack, but I think it could go anyway.
All right. So moving right along now to the Super Bowl team representative for the AFC the Kansas City Chiefs. Matt Cassel is looking great in practice, supposedly. Thomas Jones and Jamaal Charles are both back. They signed LaRon McClain today. Dwayne Bowe, Jonathan Baldwin, they've got Steve Breston now. Tony Moiaki is going to be a worthwhile fantasy tight end, although probably somebody that will be left towards the end. I think there's a lot to like about this team. Obviously, Jamaal Charles and Dwayne Bowe are the headliners there, but I think there's some other guys, you know, Matt Cassel, Steve Breston, that you take a flyer on if you need a second quarterback or a third wide receiver. Okay, go ahead. Let me have it.
I think this is ridiculous. I think the Chiefs are not going to be that good. I think Matt Cassel is not even close to a top 12 quarterback. He's not a quarterback one in any situation.
With that running game, they're not going to need it, though.
Maybe. We'll see. Jamaal Charles is a good running back, yes. Am I that excited about it that I'm drafting him number one overall? No. Dwayne Bowe, maybe. Tony Moiaki, maybe. Anything other than that, I'm not really stoked on. I don't like the Chiefs. I don't see this gelling well. I just don't see this being anything close to a contender for the Super Bowl, let alone going to the Super Bowl. No.
All right. We'll have to replay that quote when we get to end of December, beginning of January, but let's see.
Oh, we will.
So now,
we will.
Oakland's. Jason Campbell, is he worthy of a flyer as a quarterback, yes or no? Darren McFadden, do you believe in him, yes or no?
Maybe yes, Jason Campbell. Maybe Darren McFadden. I think it would be late-round flyers. I'm not making either of them a starter. But I think Oakland is on the upswing. I think they're doing better things, and they're going to be less.
I've seen McFadden going as early as the second round in some drafts, so apparently some people believe that what he did last year
people
wasn't a
fluke.
People
are pretty high on him. I
think
he's a little overvalued right now, and that'll change as time goes on.
And I know you like Jacoby Ford, Lewis Murphy. Mm-hmm. Any fantasy value there?
I think Jacoby Ford definitely has some fantasy value as a second or third wide receiver, maybe a flex player on a team. Lewis Murphy, maybe a late-round flyer.
All right. And lastly, but not leastly, the San Diego Chargers, Philip Rivers. I think he's still a top 10 quarterback, probably top 7, I would think. Ryan Matthews, I'm not taking that chance this year. Vincent Jackson, I think, is still a wide receiver one. Antonio Gates, I'm staying away from him this year because I don't trust that injury. You know, Laurent Robinson might be worth a late-round flyer now that they signed him.
And we are out of time.
You don't want to say, what do you think about the Chargers in 30 seconds or less?
Well, we are over our hour now. So the Chargers, I think there's some interesting pieces. I'm not super excited about most of it. Phillip Rivers is still an admirable quarterback, and he's got a couple of nice pieces there, but they find a way to lose it every year, and I don't think that's going to change this year. How do you see this division shaping out?
I'll go Kansas City, San Diego, Oakland, Denver.
I would go San Diego, Kansas City, Oakland, Denver. But I think it's going to be very close.
And you're only off by one then, so we're almost in agreement then. So why don't you wrap us up, and then we'll be back here next week then.
We will be back next week when we're going to revisit the NFC and maybe take a look at some strategy as well. And we would love to hear what you have to think about the Chiefs and the AFC as a whole. So you can feel free to email us at the4thninchesshow@gmail.com. That's the4thninchesshow@gmail.com. And we're on Twitter under the same handle at the4thninchesshow. You can also find the links to both of our personal Twitters there as well. So you can feel free to trash talk Scott on his Chiefs Super Bowl predictions. And you can find us on
Nobody's
Facebook.
Nobody's done that yet. That means everybody agrees with me.
I'm surprised. That you can find us on Facebook on the Fantasy Football Sherpa fan page and at fantasyfootballsherpa.com all week long. We will be back here next Wednesday from 9:30 to 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can find us all week long on Blog Talk Radio, where you can find our backed previous episodes and download them and re-listen to them whenever you please.
All right. Have a good week, everybody, and RIP, Bubba Smith.
Yes. Thank you so much for listening.